New data shows that it still pays to get a college degree, depending on your major. Hi, I'm Rob West. While it's generally true that higher education pays off, it's by no means a guarantee. You've got to plan ahead to make sure your degree jumpstarts a successful career. We'll talk about that first today, and then we have lots of great listener questions ahead, but we won't be taking your live calls today because this program is pre-recorded. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Okay, high school students have been told for decades that if you want a better paying job, go to college. And many young adults have done that, no doubt some with the belief that all college majors are created equal. They're not. Going to college is a financial decision, second only to buying a house. More specifically, it's an investment decision. Will it pay off? Well, perhaps the most important factor determining that is whether you graduate with a degree. Fail to do that, and any money you spend or borrow for college will likely be money down the drain in terms of future earnings. The good news is that data just released by the Federal Reserve Bank of New York shows that earning a college degree is still financially worthwhile, generally speaking. The data shows that recent college grads working full-time earn about $25,000 a year more than those with only a high school diploma. The catch is they have to be working. That means majors chosen by college grads must give them skills that managers are willing to pay for. Another study by the American Educational Research Journal shows that engineering and computer science degrees give the highest rate of return on dollars spent for education. They're followed by business, health, math, and science majors. So, for example, those with a bachelor degree in engineering can expect to start out at around $80,000 a year and significantly higher with a master's degree. The highest paid engineers working on aircraft, satellites, bridges, and other infrastructure can earn several hundred thousand dollars a year. One catch, though, you have to be really good at math. Meanwhile, computer systems managers make on average a bit over $140,000, but can earn significantly more than that depending on the level of complexity and responsibility with the job. The study also showed that education, humanities, and arts majors ranked the lowest in return on investment. Now, to be clear, we're not telling you to avoid those fields if that's where your passion lies. But college is expensive, and it's important to know the earning potential of any major you're considering, especially if you're borrowing to attend college. U.S. Census Bureau data shows a median salary of around $53,000 for degrees in family and consumer services and fine arts, and $55,000 for degrees in elementary education and social work. If that's where you're headed, you'll need to watch your expenses like a hawk and borrow as little as possible. Now, consider that according to the National Education Association, teachers with student loan debt owe an average of $56,000. We'll take that with a grain of salt because the NEA exists to advocate for higher teacher salaries, but if that figure is even close to accurate, it shows the difficulty many teachers have in paying back their student loans when they only make that much in a year. Remember, college is an investment, so always consider how long it will take to pay back your student loans on the salary you can expect to get with your major. Obviously, the less you borrow, the faster that will be. But also, the higher the salary, the faster you'll be able to get out of the red and into the black. Perhaps the ultimate example of that is the emergency room physician. That person will leave medical school with an average of $215,000 in student loan debt, according to the Education Data Initiative. Now, that sounds like an awful lot, and it is. But consider that the median salary of an emergency room physician is now $350,000 a year. A doctor will almost certainly pay off student loan debt before a teacher. But again, we're not telling you not to become a teacher or social worker if you feel that's God's calling on your life. Just do everything you can to minimize your student loan debt. That's good advice regardless of the major you choose. So take as many advanced placement classes as possible, get a part-time job in high school and college, and put your earnings toward tuition. But perhaps the most productive use of your time will be applying for scholarships. Set up a scholarship application assembly line and apply for dozens of them. The greatest gift you can give yourself is to graduate from college with little or no debt. As I said, we're off today, so don't call in, but we've got some great calls lined up in advance, so we'll go to those just around the corner. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Does God care about me? Every now and then, that question, that little doubt, runs through most people's minds. After all, out of more than 8.1 billion people on the planet today, how could God care about each person? Thankfully, He is not bound by our limitations. The Bible tells us in so many ways. We have a God who sees us. It's there in Psalm 33. From the heaven, the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. So it's true. God does care about you. He looks down and He gives you His love and care in Christ. Get daily encouragement from God's Word with Anchor Devotional. Try it out today at getanchor.com.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
I know darkness is in the world, but that don't mean I gotta kick open my front door and welcome it. Why would we continue to tolerate wickedness at any level? God knows the scope of your access and impact. He knows that. But He does expect you to be His ambassador in your world.
Tune in to the Hamilton Corner, weekdays at 5 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
What if your everyday purchases could support biblical causes? With the all-new Cash Rewards Visa card from Christian Community Credit Union, a portion of every purchase goes to ministries that spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children. Plus, earn unlimited 1.5% cash back. Visit joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
So thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance as we provide a hopeful, encouraging, biblical message of financial decision making. You know, it's all about looking through the lens of Scripture, holding what God has entrusted to us loosely so we can give generously. I would submit that's the primary purpose for which God has entrusted resources to us, clearly to provide for ourselves and our families. But I think so often we get stuck in an endless list of needs and wants, never getting beyond that to the opportunity to serve those on our path and be generous, supporting the work of the Lord. Think about that today as you consider your role as a steward in managing God's money. Let's dive in today. We're going to begin in Pennsylvania. Hi, Ruth. Go right ahead.
Yes. Thank you, Rob, for taking my call today.
Sure.
I appreciate you. I'm learning so much from your radio show.
Well,
yes,
thank you.
You're welcome. My question is, does it ever affect your credit score negatively when you take advantage of the balance transfer offers that they send you?
It is a great question that you're asking, because we get those balance transfers. They look so enticing, and they are, because they, you know, will temporarily reduce that interest to zero if you'll get it paid back within a certain period of time. Specifically to your question, and then we'll just talk about balance transfers in general. In some cases, a balance transfer could actually improve your credit score. It could also reduce the amount of interest that you have to pay. However, if you do it repeatedly, it would typically lower your score. Also, if you don't close the account you pay off, you could run up a new balance there and double the amount of your debt. So you want to be really careful. If you want to do the balance transfer, do it only once and then close the old account and pay off the new balance as quickly as you can. Where it will cause a slight decline in your credit report, or credit score, I should say, is by initiating that balance transfer. Normally, you're opening a new account. And when you open a new account, that means a new inquiry into your credit. There's two types of inquiry. There's the soft inquiry, which is essentially where you pull your own credit score for your informational purposes. That doesn't affect your score. Then there's the hard inquiry, where a lender is pulling it specifically for the purpose of determining whether or not to extend you credit. So if you take advantage of their balance transfer offer, and that involves you opening a new account, that means a hard inquiry on your credit. That's going to temporarily decrease your score, usually between 20 and 40 points. Now, at the end of the day, if you're not out looking to take on more credit, you're not in the house to, you know, in the market to buy a house and need a mortgage, you're not in the market to buy a car and need a car loan, then it probably doesn't matter if you have a temporary decline. The key is, how do I get out of debt the quickest with the least amount of interest and stay out of debt with regard to credit cards? And that's where a balance transfer can oftentimes, Ruth, take the pressure off, because you know in the back of your mind, okay, I'm not paying any more interest, and you don't do the hard work to correct the problem that got you there in the first place, which is typically spending beyond your means, which is why my preferred approach is something entirely different. It's called debt management, and that's using our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org, getting the interest rates down, paying through Christian Credit Counselors, and they send it on to your creditors, and then typically you pay that off, you know, 80% faster because of the lower interest. Now, I realize we're not dropping the interest to zero, and that's likely what you're being offered through the balance transfer. I just want to make sure you only do that once, and you do it alongside the hard work necessary to rein your spending in, so you don't repeat the issue, you know, 6 months or a year down the road. But give me your questions on all of that.
Yes, I understood everything you said. One question came to my mind. When you're offered that 0% balance transfer, it's usually, well, when I'm offered it, with a credit card that I already have. So I'm not getting any new credit. It's a credit card that I already have. And
yeah,
I don't use them a lot sometimes, so I'm thinking they're trying to get me to, you know, they're competing for my business, trying to get me
absolutely
to this
card. Yeah, they're hoping that you'll make the transfer and not pay it off in time, and then they can charge you 21% moving forward.
Exactly. So as long as I am not getting new credit, I just want to understand correctly, I'm using credit that I already have. Does that transaction specifically, I'm taking into account everything you said. I know the goal is to get out of debt the quickest with the lowest interest rate. Does that particular transaction have any negative effects on my credit rating?
It could. Yeah. So if you request an increase in the limit, it will require the issuer to conduct a hard credit inquiry, which will pull your score down. If, however, the balance transfer is within the existing limit that's available to you and you're just not using, then no, that would not require a hard credit inquiry, and it should have very little impact on your credit score. It does just move around, you know, using a number of factors, but it should be very minimal. Again, assuming you're making a balance transfer to a card that's already in place, and it's within the current limit that's available to you that's been previously unused.
Thank you very much. That's exactly what I wanted to know.
Okay, very good, Ruth. Hey, thank you for your call today. Call back anytime. May the Lord bless you. Let's go to Sarasota. Hi, Mary. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I just want to ask you a quick question. I would like to set up a will for my kids, and I don't know which one is the best way. Could you please advise me if it's good, the will of trust or the notary public? I don't know.
Yes, very good. I think you absolutely need a will, Mary, so I think that's a good thing. There are any number of do-it-yourself legal sites that will enable you to create a document, a will. However, for something as important as a will, we really think it's worth it to have an estate attorney do this for you. That professional would be able to ask you a series of questions, help you make the necessary decisions, make sure that the will complies with the laws of your state. Also, at the same time, could help you address some other estate planning issues like a healthcare surrogate, naming somebody who could act on your behalf with regard to healthcare decisions if you're incapacitated and unable to do so. Often that's called a healthcare directive. They could do similarly a durable power of attorney, allowing somebody to act on your behalf for legal and financial matters if you're incapacitated, even a living will that would allow you to make decisions related to end of life in advance. But I would have an attorney do that. If you don't have one, you could go to faithfi.com and connect with a certified Kingdom advisor and ask for a referral to a godly estate attorney. You could also talk to the attorney about whether or not you need a trust. If your situation is fairly simple, you probably don't. Most folks who use a trust either have a lot of real estate or they want to stay out of probate. They don't want the costs and the public record and the time involved in probate, and they want everything to pass directly to their heirs. And if you wanted that, it would involve a revocable trust, and that would usually run you around $2,000, maybe a little bit more. Mary, I hope that helps you. Thanks for your call today. We're going to head to a break here in just a moment, but let me remind you, our team is away from the studios today, so don't call in, but we have lined up some great questions in advance. So when we come back, we'll dive into those as we apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. You know, here at Faith and Finance, it's all about understanding the heart of God in our role as stewards or managers of God's resources. It's a game changer when we understand that as our starting point. More calls just around the corner on Faith and Finance. Stick around.
Hey, man, what are you doing?
I'm just lying here relaxing in a stream. I call it streaming.
Okay, you know that word already has another meaning, right?
AFA Streaming offers free and subscription video content. Titles like By Design, The God Who Speaks, and Asbury Revival, Desperate for More. You'll also find video versions of AFR programs. Visit AFA.net and click on Streaming.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
Isn't it interesting that the first department store to allow cross-dressing individuals into either restroom was the same store which later marketed LGBTQ-themed clothing for children? Some of those clothes actually included a satanic logo. Target is a perfect illustration of the slippery slope which is moral decline. Such corporate policies accelerate depravity and endanger our wives and daughters who use Target restrooms or changing areas. Learn more and sign the Target Boycott Pledge at AFA.net.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Well, we'd always wanted to leave some of our money for God, but we didn't know where or how.
Bernie and Alice Larson are faithful supporters of the American Family Association.
We felt like this was put into our laps as answer to our prayers as to what we could do after we're gone.
You can learn more about charitable annuities and other financial products at afafoundation.net or call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Hey, are you struggling to stay on budget? That's right. The spending plan is essential, especially now with inflation where it is. Maybe you've never been able to find a system that works for you. Well, perhaps it's because you've never tried the FaithFi app, and I'd love for you to download it, check it out, set up your spending plan. By the way, while you're there, check out all the great content on biblical financial wisdom from authors like Randy Alcorn and Ron Blue and Howard Dayton and so many more. You can jump into the community, ask a question, give an answer, help others along on their stewardship journey, or perhaps find some tips for yourself. It's all there in the FaithFi app, and you can download it today when you visit your app store. Just search for FaithFi or go to faithfi.com and click app. We'd love for you to check it out. Let's go to Fort Lauderdale, my hometown. Carol, go ahead.
Hi, Rob. My daughter has been informed by her husband that he's leaving her and does not want to reconcile the marriage. She doesn't want the divorce. She's in her 50s with two grown children. They own a home, but the house is in need of repair. They have two mortgages totaling about $230,000 and several credit cards with debt amounting to $60,000. Should she seek Trinity Debt Management or a certified Kingdom advisor? My attorney advises that she should contact a divorce attorney for a one-time fee consultation to help her prepare for what to expect. She'd like to maintain civil communication with her husband, but has considered divorce mediation in lieu of attorney litigation.
Yeah,
I'm willing to pay for the fees for any of the consultations, but I can't pay for a divorce attorney litigation.
I'd
appreciate any advice you can give me.
Oh, Carol, I'm so sorry to hear about this. I know it's heartbreaking. And first, let's just, as I'm sure you've already done countless times, let's just pray that the Lord would grab a hold of his heart and there would be reconciliation at some point here in the future, hopefully sooner rather than later. In the meantime, obviously, given the situation, he's left and has said he's not willing to attempt to reconcile, and he's proceeding with divorce. She needs to have representation, and I realize, given her financial situation, which the court will take into account as they settle these matters, if that's what it comes to, obviously, she's going to need to hire an attorney, and I understand you said you're not in a position to do that. So I think, you know, in terms of you being able to get her started with a consultation, that's great. Oftentimes that would be, you know, at no cost. I think connecting her with a godly divorce attorney would be a very appropriate next step, and perhaps her church could be helpful in that. Secondly, perhaps her church could help in this situation, just given, you know, where she's at financially, the fact that this was unexpected and she's going through a difficult season here. This is an opportune time for the body of Christ to rally around her, not only spiritually and relationally, but financially. And so I think making, you know, the appropriate people, and I realize this is a difficult topic, but the appropriate people aware of what's going on here and the financial needs, so often, you know, there is a fund for things like this where they might be able to help step in a limited capacity. I know the church is in Fort Lauderdale well, and there's some amazing churches down there. And so hopefully, you know, she's at a church that would be able to assist. In terms of her debt, I would refer you not to a certified Kingdom advisor, but to Christian Credit Counselors at ChristianCreditCounselors.org. They're wonderful folks that are godly, that could you know, really walk alongside her, pray with her, help her understand her options, and hopefully get her on a repayment plan that involves much reduced interest rates and a payment that could fit into her monthly spending plan. And I realize that may be tight and there's a lot of things in flux right now. But, you know, that would be my preferred option moving forward to keep these current, get them going in the right direction, and then wait for the outcome of whatever will come after this. Is that all helpful?
Yeah. So you suggest an attorney and Christian credit counselors?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And you'll find them on the web at ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Carol, if one of our certified Christian financial counselors could be helpful to you, not Christian Credit Counselors, which is the debt management program, but just a trained counselor that could bring godly advice and counsel, help her set up that spending plan, you know, just somebody to walk alongside her for a few sessions, especially right now while everything's foggy and probably more questions than answers, we'd be delighted to provide that at no cost to her. So if you stay on the line, we'll get your information. And if you think that would be helpful, we will get a Christian financial counselor in touch. Again, that's not for the debt management. That would just be to help her answer whatever question she has and then work through her new spending plan just in light of the changes that have taken place. So you hold the line. We'll get your information. And man, so sorry to hear about what she's going through. May the Lord bless you. Let's go to Sioux City, Nebraska. Lori, go ahead. Hi, Lori. Hello? Are you there? Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I'm here.
Great.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Sure.
Yeah, I just had a pretty quick question. I have a 401k and a job I left maybe 6 months ago.
All right.
Got a different job. And I've started a new 401k with this new job. And I'm just wondering what to do with what would be the best bet to do with the money that's in the old 401k? Like, should I roll it over into the one I'm doing now
yeah.
or invest it somewhere?
Yeah, it's a good question. Are you?
And,
go ahead.
I'm single and I want to make my money grow and make, cause I'm 60, almost 62. So I want to do the, you know, these next few years until I collect Social Security the best with my money that I can.
Sure. No, I get it. Are you planning to participate in the new 401k?
Yeah, I already am. Yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah, I would encourage you to consider rolling it over into the new 401k simply because it just keeps everything in one place. It's simpler. At some point, when you separate from that employer and, let's say, transition into a retirement season of life, you're probably going to want to roll it all out to a new IRA, which would give you unlimited investment options, and that would be the time to hire an advisor. But I think in the meantime, you know, go ahead and put it in the 401k, keep it all invested in the same strategy. And if you need help with that, seek that from the plan administrator. They should have somebody that can advise you. But I would look to roll it all into that new 401k, and that just makes things a lot simpler. Everything's under one roof. Lori, I hope that's helpful. Thanks for your call. We'll be right back. That's how many pairs of shoes the average American has in their closet. 1. That's how many pairs of shoes it takes to share health, education, opportunity, and the love of Christ to a child in need in the world. You can play a part in changing the life of a child today through Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls. Visit giveshoestoday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child in need. That's giveshoestoday.org.
Explaining your beliefs can sometimes be a little difficult. On the next Focus on the Family, Lee Strobel explores how science actually points to the existence of a divine creator. Lee offers solid evidence to help you better understand why you can trust and believe in the God of the universe. Next time on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a CKA.
Interested in seminary but don't think it will work in this season in life? Wesley Biblical Seminary offers flexible options that allow you to take classes live, no matter where you are. At WBS, we don't just educate people, we develop trusted leaders for faithful churches. It's time for you to respond to the calling God has on your life. Take classes from an institution that you can trust for a calling that will not go away. Learn more about your opportunities at wbs.edu. That's wbs.edu.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. This is the program where we apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices, help you make decisions in light of God's word as you're a steward of God's resources. Let's go to Orlando, Florida. Hi, Brian. How can I help?
Hey, how are you today?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Great. Hey, so I got a question. My wife and I, at the beginning of COVID, we went through some pretty hardcore financial difficulties, got into a bit of credit card debt, and unfortunately, we stopped filing our taxes. And, you know, this past year has been very blessed. You know, we began our tithing again and getting back on the right track. My question to you is, we weren't as responsible in keeping all of our tax returns, and we've got probably about 4 years of taxes that we need to file. What's your advice on how to begin that? Because I'm not even sure where to go about or how to start that process, having not filed in the last 4 years.
Yeah, you know, I think this would be a great time for you to use a CPA, somebody to help you get this current. And listen, I understand what you've been through. I'm delighted to hear you're getting on top of things. And I think getting current and in compliance with the IRS is a great next step for you. The good news is you can just go in and file those returns and the IRS will take them. They consider you in good standing as long as you've filed, within the last 6 years. And so, I think the key is for you to get on top of those as quickly as possible. Now, there are penalties and interest that is accruing, and so it's in your best interest to get that filed just as soon as you can. The other deadline, if you will, is 3 years. So if you qualified for federal tax credits or refunds in the past but didn't file returns, you are only going to get that going back 3 years from the tax return's original due date. So beyond 3 years, and it sounds like it may be only one of these years that you're describing, because I think you said you had four, you may have to forego then your refunds and tax credits. But you could even get those for the prior 3 years. So I think the key is just get all your information together and get those IRS tax returns filed for those back years as quickly as possible. And if you find you owe an amount on any of them or all of them that you can't pay, well, that's then where you would begin to negotiate either an offer in compromise or a payment plan. But I think the key is to go ahead and get filed as quickly as you can, because in some cases that will even stop some of the penalties by filing those back taxes, even if you're unable to pay.
All right, and your recommendation as far as tackling the credit card debt versus, and I have a feeling we'll probably owe a bit to the IRS, tackle the IRS first and then go after the credit card debt?
Yeah, it's a good question. So what is the status of the credit card debt? Are you current on it?
No, we're not current on it.
Okay, so what do you owe in credit cards?
Roughly about 26, anywhere from 26 to 30,000 right now.
All right, and how far past due are they?
About 2 years.
Okay, and so have there been judgments against you? Have they taken legal action?
No.
Okay, so you're just getting lots of calls from collection agencies?
Right, exactly.
Okay. All right. And do you have the ability to start paying on those? Like, for instance, if we were to typically a credit counseling payment might be about 3% of the balance. So would you have the ability to pay somewhere around $800 a month?
If we stop tithing, yes. But it's important to us to do the tithing right now. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and I wouldn't put those two things against each other. I would kind of back up and say, let's start with our values and our priorities. And you're alluding to this. So I'm not saying this is in conflict with what you just said. But I think the starting point is to say, Lord, what's important to us and what are our values? And obviously, what leaps off the page in Scripture is the ability to be generous with what God has given us. So a systematic gift, a tithe as a guideline, I think is a great starting point. So let's put that in. And then we want to be able to build up an emergency fund and pay back our debt. Let's put that in. And then let's try to order our finances to live on the rest. And it may mean that other things have to go. Maybe we're not eating out for a season, any number of things. Maybe we're canceling subscriptions, but let's live within our means, but make sure we're doing those things that are really important to us. So I think what the next step might be would be to get with a counselor who could just look at your overall situation and help you develop a plan. Because, with $26,000 in credit card debt, a judgment is a very real possibility where they could seek a legal judgment against you. And that's just going to create more expense, more cost and complexity to this thing. You also don't want to mess around with, being delinquent with the IRS either. So we need to solve for all of it, but I realize you can't do it all at once. And so it's a matter of looking at the overall picture, doing the hard work with regard to your spending plan to absolutely eliminate any unnecessary spending. And I know that's not easy, but it's necessary so we can free up margin and then develop a game plan to say, okay, how do we get the tax returns filed even if we can't pay? And maybe we set up a payment plan there. And then how do we start getting on top of these credit cards? My preference would be to connect with ChristianCreditCounselors.org, let them kind of work you through the plan there. But it's all going to come down to you being able to, really keep a consistent payment going to both the IRS and the debts in order to begin to make some progress toward getting these, back under control. So let's do this, Brian. I'm going to connect you with one of our certified Christian financial counselors. We'll cover the cost for it just for a few sessions to help someone get you some perspective, get all of this in one place so you know what your assets and liabilities are, and somebody to help you work through that spending plan to create hopefully a reasonable plan that balances, that allows us to begin making some progress either toward the IRS or the credit cards, or ideally both. Does that make sense?
That does. And thank you so much. I really appreciate it, Rob.
Hey, happy to do it, Brian. Listen, stay on the line. We'll get your information and get somebody in touch with you here very soon. You know, folks, we've got some great questions coming up, and we'll get to those in just a moment, but we're up against a break here, and so I don't want to go to them quite yet. So let me mention, I've mentioned a couple of professionals that can walk alongside you in your journey, and part of our heart here at FaithFi is to make sure that we give you good, godly counsel on this broadcast and through our podcast and in our library there in the FaithFi app and online, but we also want to connect you with godly counsel that can actually journey with you. Somebody who's trained and skilled in your area of need, who can walk alongside you to encourage you and pray with you and give you godly counsel and help you make a wise decision, not telling you what to do, but equipping you to make a wise decision. And for us, that's either a certified Christian financial counselor, which you'll find at faithfi.com/certcfc, or that's a certified Kingdom Advisor, which is a professional who's been trained and achieved the highest credential in the financial services industry around biblically wise professional financial advice. You'll find a CKA at our website, faithfi.com. Just click find a CKA. Hopefully that helps. All right, a quick break and back with our final segment. Stay with us.
That's what the armor of the believer is meant to do for us. It's meant to equip us and encourage us and strengthen us, not to let life happen to us, but to take the initiative and go forward to do battle for Christ.
Dr. David Jeremiah continues his series, Spiritual Warfare, Armor of the Believer, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live, 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
Have you downloaded the FaithFi app yet? You need to do that today, because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature, but also plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now and download the FaithFi app?
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
I'm grateful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Sit back and enjoy. We're going to cover a lot of ground here in our final segment. We'll get to as many calls as we can. Let's go to Minnesota. Hi, Chris. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, Rob. I have a question regarding a retirement from a fire department. Okay. I'm 49 years old. I'll be 50 in September, and I'll also have 20 years on my fire department on in September and be able to retire. The amount of that retirement is $100,000 based off of our benefits plan. And I have a regular other full-time job, and I have retirement through that that's well-funded and a supplemental retirement through that. My question is, being a paramedic of 25 years, a firefighter, seeing some other people, you know, reach retirement age and, you know, pass on and not be able to enjoy that, what would the ramifications be of taking that fire department retirement and basically spending it on myself and my family by buying a boat?
Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you for your service. And I know it probably has been difficult along the way, seeing what you've seen. And yet I know it's been
an amazing blessing to the families you served as well. And I can understand wanting to enjoy it. And you know what? We see that in 1 Timothy, that part of why God has given us this good gift of money, which is one of his creations, is to enjoy. And so we want you to enjoy it, but it needs to be done in the context of what are our values and our priorities. Now, clearly, as you've said just a moment ago, one of your values is my family. I want to be able to build relationships and enjoy time with them. And money is a tool to accomplish that alongside the other goals and objectives you have that should also align with your values, like giving generously and living within your means and being able to provide for your family beyond your life. You know, if your Lord calls you home first and making sure your wife has enough to sustain her lifestyle. So all of these things have to work in concert, and that's why we make plans to the best of our ability, and we trust God for our provision. Now, let's get to your specific question. You know, I think if this is a pre-tax retirement account, and you're pulling it out at less than 59 and a half, and if you're not taking advantage of the rule of 55, which says that if you separate from your employer, quit, get fired, retire after age 55, then you can go ahead and start taking money out without the penalty. But prior to that, which it sounds like would be your situation, you would have a 10% penalty, and then the whole thing would be taxable. So if you're going to spend $75,000, you'd have a, you know, $7,500 penalty. And then on top of that, you'd add $75,000 to your taxable income in that year. So that's pretty expensive money in terms of accessing that. And then it's not available for your longer term plan. So you just need to factor that in terms of looking at what are the assets that are going to be available in retirement to generate the income that I need alongside my other retirement assets and income and Social Security to make sure that I can pay the bills. Does all that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay. So I think that's the short answer is if it's a pre-tax retirement account, you're looking at a 10% penalty plus it's all taxable income, and you just have to decide, is that worth it to me? To pay that and then not have it available as a part of my overall retirement assets that are growing for the future.
Sure. Yeah. That makes sense. That's what I was wondering. Online searching, you get a bunch of different information and never sure what's what.
That's great. Well, Chris, thanks for your call today. We appreciate it. God bless you, sir. All right. Take care. Let's go to Paul in Republic, Washington. How can I help?
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So this last year, I set up to do charitable contributions from my IRA. First year I've done this. And so I got my 1099 from principal, and it's listed as a taxable withdrawal.
Right.
And so I guess that's the way it should be. So I made donations to a number of different organizations, and all the receipts are really different. Some of them, they all say no tangible goods or services have been rendered for this gift. They all do say that. They don't all say they're a 501c, and some of them say it was from a qualified distribution from my IRA. So I don't really know what the receipt is supposed to say. I tried to do a little research and I couldn't find anything.
Yeah, very good. Well, the QCDs, as long as you did them properly, are reported along with other distributions from an IRA on that 1099-R. So that's not unexpected. They aggregate all of those together, both the QCD and the taxable distributions. And then you would offset that by inputting the amount of the QCD on the 1040. And so there's a line for that. And then that's going to offset that portion because the QCD is not taxable. You don't get a deduction, but it's excluded from being added to your adjusted gross income for the year. So that would be handled on the tax return itself. In terms of receipts, are you talking about the QCD receipt or just general donation receipts in terms of what should be on there?
No, just the general receipts of, that I receive from everybody. Some of them clarify that it is from a qualified distribution from my IRA, and some of them don't. And some of them don't even say they're a 501c, I know they are because I, you know, made sure they were before I put, you know, included them in my donations.
Yeah, yeah, very good. So, I mean, what you would typically want on the receipt is the name of the organization, the date of the donation, a description of the article or articles, and an estimated value. And then as long as they're a not-for-profit 501c3 charity, then you're able to take that donation. And then additionally, if it's a qualified charitable distribution, that should be indicated as well. And then you would provide all of that to your tax preparer, and then your he or she would, you know, file that appropriately on the 1040.
Okay, so if I understand you right, it should say on the receipt that it came from a qualified distribution.
That's correct.
They don't all say that. So I need to contact them and get a receipt. Now, the only way the IRS is going to see these receipts is if I get audited. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. I mean, sometimes they will include that with the return, but yeah, you just need to be able to defend that and back up whatever was on the tax return, which is why, you know, you're going to want to get that, you know, straightened out now.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for your call, Paul. We appreciate it. Let's go to Chris in Ohio. Chris, go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I am, I'm over 70. I'm a widow. When I filed for Social Security from my husband when I was 66 at full retirement age, okay, I have not been retired yet, but I'm on something called OPRS. And this is a windfall elimination.
Yes.
And I know when I retire, two-thirds of my income of my retirement is going to be taken off the Social Security that I get from my husband.
That's right.
But then somebody told me because I'm over 70 that they thought something happened where that doesn't take effect anymore. Do you know anything about that?
Interesting. You know, I'm not familiar with the intricacies of that, so I think it'd be good for you to reach out to the Social Security Administration to find out. But what typically happens is your Social Security benefits are reduced by, you know, up to two-thirds when you retire. So there, the Ohio Public Employees Retirement System, you know, if you're eligible for Social Security benefits and you're receiving a retirement benefit from OPRS under any of their OPRS retirement plan, then that's where typically your Social Security benefits are affected by that, what's called government pension offset or windfall elimination. So I think it's important for you to understand, and whether or not, you know, your age will factor into how that's affected, I'm not certain on that. So have you reached out to the Social Security Administration to try to schedule a meeting in person or have a phone call?
Yes, a long time ago, before I took my husband's Social Security, they told me the two-thirds, you know, when I retire, the two-thirds thing.
Right.
But the only reason I was asking is because somebody thought, two people thought that they had changed that because of my age, because of your age.
I see.
But I went on socialsecurity.gov, and I didn't see anything, any change there. All I saw was the two-thirds.
I see. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not familiar, Chris, with any change coming in at the age of 70. I'm not saying that's not the case. I'm just saying that I'm not familiar with that. So I think it would be good for you to understand that because it could be that, you know, once you get to that point, it does change whether or not that windfall elimination is kicking in. And obviously that would be really helpful to you, given that that would involve you getting more money. So I think reaching out to the Social Security Administration is your next best option at this point.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much.
All right. You're welcome. Thanks for your call today. We appreciate it very much. Well, folks, we covered a lot of ground today. Always so appreciate your calls and questions. And, you know, finances can get really challenging. And often we can think that, you know, it's so complicated because there's just an unlimited number of decisions. And I've found that when we try to simplify our financial life and understand there's really only five things we can do with money,
You know, there's money we live on, there's money we give, there's money we owe for debt and taxes. There's actually two O's. And then there's the money we grow. And God's word speaks to all of those. Now, obviously, there's a host of questions and issues and intricacies in any one of those. But I think kind of keeping the big picture in mind is often helpful, and trying to simplify things can boil it down to maybe something we can get our hands around. And then seeking wise counsel. You know, the Bible is really clear about the multitude of counselors and the benefits that comes from it. I hope we've been one of those multitude of counselors today for you. Thanks for being on the program. That's going to do it for us today, folks, here on Faith and Finance. I want to say thanks to Devin Patrick, Robert Youngblood, and Jim Henry. Couldn't do it without them. Have a great rest of your day. Come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.